Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our No Holds Barred Forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with our favorite uncle. My guests today are Bob Woods, president of Topside Consulting. You can find Bob at topside-consulting.com and Bob LeClade, VP and BD director at Ingram Micro for all government. And you can find Bob at ingrammicro.com. We're going to be discussing a variety of issues around what's hot in the government market, a little historical aspect of what was hot in FY09 and what's going to stay hot in 2010. But I'd like to start, because Bob Woods and I were talking a little earlier about the undercurrent of computer security that's been with us really since the late 70s when Jim Burrows and Lynn McNulty and a bunch of other people out at what used to be NBS started the computer security lab. And pick it up a little bit, because you were involved even then, Bob.
Well, I think then we thought it was basic data protection, or just making sure that unauthorized people got into the systems. But I think Lynn and Jim were the first to begin to educate us to the global nature of this thing, and that eventually, as we opened up the net, we didn't have to have someone around physically. They could be on the other side of the world. So they were the earlier town criers as to this is an issue and there's more coming.
Right. That 15 feet of cable that connected the first two computers led to a myriad of issues and opportunities. So, yeah. And Bob, you know, you've watched the evolution of security products being Ingram's government guy forever and a day.
So, yeah, you think about what the government's trying to go to, actually the whole world. We're trying to open up all the data, make it available to everybody, you know, whether it's a healthcare data or, you know, security data, you know, government data, and yet you're trying to get it to the right people and protect it from the bad guys that might be wanting to get it, who could also be anywhere around the world. So talk about, competing forces of total openness, you know, transparency the Obama administration is trying to bring in, plus let's keep that data to only the right people getting it. It's a real dichotomy of problems out there.
It's an issue, but, you know, Mr. Woods and I were discussing, it's always been kind of an undercurrent issue, but in recent years it seems to have gotten hot. Where are we seeing activity? Where's traction occurring? Funding-wise, and what are the opportunities for the vendor community to work with government on this? Because it's a killer.
It is a killer, but it's real dilemma is that it's two good principles, privacy and openness, coming together head-on. They are beginning to work against each other to some degree, as you outlined. On the other hand, I think what's really put this thing out on the front part of the brain is the fact that these problems now hit the general public. You can get hacked in at home. You can get your identity stolen. There's all kinds of businesses that have sprung up around this. So I think that's part of it, Mark. It isn't just that we didn't know this problem was there. It's now who it affects.
It affects absolutely everybody, but really the only time it hits the news like any other thing is when something massive happens, when a laptop is stolen that has critical data stolen or lost. Nobody mentions on a regular basis the thousands or tens of thousands of pings that all government systems are getting from the Ukraine or China and, you know, not to say that these are government-sponsored from foreign governments. Gee, I would never say that in public. It's totally pervasive. What can we do here?
Well, you know, the other issue that I see, I was in a meeting just last week with one of the big system integrators in town that was putting in a big system, big server network on the West Coast. And the servers, the databases were all working correctly, but all the layers of security products were slowing down performance of people getting to it. So they were getting, you know, hit by their end user that said, you know, this thing is not performing the way we wanted. And they said, at the server level, we're fine. You just can't get to it because of the layers and layers of security products. So it was, I was kind of laughing, going, well, what a problem of trying to integrate all that and make it work.
And I get calls on a pretty regular basis from manufacturers, either appliance manufacturers or software companies. You know, the government really needs what we do. We have the latest, greatest, hottest, and we could save the world kind of thing. And I say, well, you know, what do you know about the agencies? You know, do you have any commercial viability? No, we're beta, but, you know, and even if it's beyond beta, if they have a little bit of traction in the B2B world, what's the realistic option of any of these things taking hold?
Well, you know, the other unmentionable in the room here is that you don't stop to think about where we go as a nation in terms of what we look into in other parts of the world.
We don't do that.
In parts of the world,
yeah,
where they very seldom buy software, but most often pirate it from somewhere else. When you steal it, it comes with a certain price. You don't get the updates. You don't get the security patches.
Yeah. Right.
And so
we
there's
know
parts
where the doors
of the,
are.
There's parts of the world where their systems are wide open. And so, not to divert our attention away from our problem, but there are parts of the world where there's free access into government systems, and it's pervasive. So,
and you know, it's valuable intel anywhere you cut it. But Bob, how, you know, Ingram represents the vast majority of manufacturers selling to the government. Is that accurate?
Yeah, there's about 300 major manufacturers we work with, you know, into the federal space at least.
Okay. What percentage of those do you think would be involved in security directly or indirectly?
Good question on numbers of manufacturers. We know at our level of the, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of millions we do, 17-20% of that revenue is all security products, hardware, software, appliances, as Bob was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it represents, I'm just trying to do a quick count on manufacturers. There's probably 50 or 60 major ones that I can think of that are in my portfolio of vendors that we work with that have some kind of a security product.
So 20% have a product, but probably another 20% on top of that are either looking at or have something you don't represent yet.
That's right. So. And then you look at, you know, do you classify a Microsoft or, you know, some of those as having some part of security products? So they all have some play in the security role.
Yeah.
And even the hardware companies have got something that's got a security.
Right. When you're as big as Microsoft or Cisco, there better be very little that you don't do.
You don't touch, right.
So
now there's a lot of it out there. And I think there was many, many years ago in one of my probably security 101, and Bob may have taught me this course way back when, you know, security, physical security was like, it wasn't a question of if you could get into a safe or a bank, it was how long it was going to take you to get in there. And I often think computer security today is kind of the same thing, is eventually, given enough time and enough, if somebody doesn't see you hacking at that, you will break it, you know, eventually. So I think we kind of forget that we want absolute security. And the answer is what we really have is
intrusion detection and then deterrent.
Right.
So, and yeah, I get calls from people who can do that. We'll just, you know, I was at Bank of America yesterday and, you know, there's a guard standing out front because it's a branch that's been robbed. There's intrusion detection.
There's intrusion detection. Simple
but it
form.
Was after the... The cow got out of the barn.
Yeah, the cow had left town.
All right. Any final thoughts on the computer security thing before we wrap this segment and move on? I mean, you know, it has been warm forever. It's finally hot. Is there going to be funding to attack this in ways that are meaningful?
Not to mince words, but meaningful is obviously the key word here. I think that what agencies can count on is they're probably going to have to do a lot of the basics out of the base funding they have. I do think the government is at a age and stage where it needs to start thinking about providing secure services on a broader basis. DOD's recognized that for many years. You can argue about how well they're doing it. The civilian side needs to step up. And once they do that, I think you can begin to cut the number of variables because you've got fewer things to deal with.
And you know, that I think markets are going to flow not only in the security classified spaces, the DOD, you know, world, things like that, but as you look at what healthcare, what they're trying to do with healthcare is to move, you know, your medical record from right. your doctor to your insurance company to HHS, the Center for Disease Control. That's okay if the right people are looking at your record, but you don't want the whole world looking at it. So I think it's going to flow.
That's your whole history because it's got the whole ball of wax.
Right. So I think security is just going to keep evolving. It's got to be a piece of every budget, every new system, every new program that goes in has got, you know, part of that is dollars for some part of a security solution.
Cool. My guests today are Bob Woods, president of Topside Consulting. You can find him at topside-consulting.com and Bob LeClaid, VP and Business Development Director for Ingram Micro. You can find him at ingrammicro.com. When we come back, we're talking about hot issues from 09 that are carrying over to 010 from the atrium at the Tower Club in Vienna, Virginia. I'm Mark Amtower, and you're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You wouldn't drive your kids in the car without them wearing their seatbelts, so why leave them unprotected when you're gone? I'm Wayne Zell, and at Zell Law, we help protect your assets for your heirs and keep them from the IRS and creditors. Zell Law, dedicated to helping you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Call me at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com. And join me every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. for Blueprint for Wealth right here on 1500 a.m. and 820 a.m.
Do you know a community star? DC United is proud to introduce its first community program whose winners are nominated by you, the community. DC United Community Stars recognizes individuals demonstrating leadership, compassion, and a commitment to make their community a better place. Any person, regardless of age, within the DC metropolitan area is eligible for consideration. Nominate your community star at DCUnited.com. A winner is chosen for each home game, receives 4 tickets and on-field recognition. Help us recognize those truly making a difference in our community.
The Intelligence and National Security Report is brought to you by ManTech International Corporation.
ManTech has been providing IT services and solutions to the Air Force for more than 25 years, and they intend to deliver innovative and worldwide support to the upcoming NetSense 2 contract. They provide a full spectrum of net-centric services, including service-oriented architecture enterprise solutions, web service development, cybersecurity, network operations, and sustainment support. In 2008, Business Week magazine named ManTech one of the top 100 IT companies in the world.
Due to the high demand for ManTech's skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals, security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. Apply for openings today at ManTech.com. That's ManTech.com. ManTech, leading the convergence of national security and technology.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free Rosetta Stone demo CD. So, what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo CD to try it for yourself.
Okay, but I've tried to learn a new language before and it was always too hard.
Well, Rosetta Stone is a completely natural way to learn a new language, just like you learned your first language. No tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. It even comes in over 30 languages. Oh, but there is one thing.
The catch, right?
You could start speaking a new language in less than 10 minutes.
Aha! Uh-huh. Wait, did you say 10 minutes?
To get your free demo CD from Rosetta Stone, call now, 1-800-600-0421. Experience for yourself the fastest, easiest way to learn a new language guaranteed. For your free demo CD, call now, 1-800-600-0421. That's 1-800-600-0421.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're here today at the Tower Club in the atrium. And my guests are Bob LeClaid of Ingram Micro and Bob Woods of Topside Consulting. Bob, you sent me a short list of a couple of Bob Woods, I should say. You sent me a short list of a couple of items that you thought were significant in 09 that may have some carryover value. Let's hit them.
Well, I think I think simply that the security issues are going to carry over, and we've already talked about that. But I think the other one that's going to hit agencies is that I believe the funding levels for IT government-wide are going to be basically flat for the next 4 to 5 years, with some small increase for inflation. What that leaves agencies doing that want to invest in the future, and they do, they need to change how they deliver service, and they're being pressured to do that, is they're going to have to figure out ways to eliminate legacy systems and begin to dig into their base. This is like a iceberg where most of it's below the waterline, and the part below the waterline are your legacy systems. And so I see agencies begin to wrestle with that problem of how do you raise capital by beginning to squeeze your legacy systems and what we call O&M, your ops and maintenance.
Well, we talked briefly about the companies that pirate software and leaving the back doors open. How many back doors are open because of legacy systems?
We don't know. It's one thing when you know what you don't know. It's another when you don't know what you don't know. And we're at that stage, and there's systems out there that are obsolete that could be better done with commercial systems. So we're going to have to begin to dig in there. There's a variety of methods that will be used to dig into that base. But I believe CIOs or IT or program managers out there that believe that there's going to be this money rolled downhill, I don't believe it's going to happen. I believe they're going to have to go into that $60 or $70 billion base and pull the investment money from that area.
Okay. Mr. LeClay, do you have any comments there?
Yeah, Bob, I totally agree with you on the size or maybe the lack of increases in the federal IT budgets. Let me talk to you from the solution sider piece, which is, as a distributor who we talk to most times, most solution providers looking at the 2010, 2011 budgets are thinking might go up, flat to a couple of percent. Nobody has a projection over 5%. So what we see is kind of even a merging, a lot of merger and acquisition activity,
yep.
Solution providers going together. If you don't have a contractual vehicle, we've known this forever in this business, but getting new business is going to be harder. If you're established with an agency, have a BPA, a BOA, some contract gets in there, you're golden. If not, you're in real trouble right now in the federal business.
Well, we've seen for years companies, oh, God, we need to get on soup. Who can we buy?
Exactly. I think we're going to see that activity either increase or teaming and partnerships to, increase to help that go forward.
Right.
And then I think we'll see shakeouts both at the solution provider level and at the vendor level that are playing in this market.
Right. And we see companies like Serco absorbing other companies. And a couple of years ago, I didn't know who Serco was.
Well, the new trend is hardware companies that buy service companies.
Well, yeah, HP and Dell. Dell,
yep.
Your service partner.
Xerox and ACS. That's the new trend right now is if you're a service company, there must be a hardware company looking for you.
Maybe we could
hold a mixer, Mark.
It's a complete solution. That's exactly what the end user actually wants.
What do we charge for that mixer, Bob?
Plenty.
Yes. That would be a good, but I'm sorry, Bob.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that the mergers, the acquisitions, whether it's hardware and software, it's to get to that complete solution. I think the end user, the agencies that are out there, whether they're trying to solve a legacy system or overall program they're putting in, they don't want to deal with 20 partners. They want to have one that they go after, kind of the general contractor theory, and then let them worry about all whether they've got that capability in-house or they're teamed with somebody. So that's what I see is really happening out there. I think there's a lot of meetings at places like this in the Tower Club, Mark, where
yep.
those partnerships are starting to form.
Well, yeah, you can walk into the dining room any given day, and there's probably one of those deals, being hammered out quietly on the side.
Discussed, speculated, exactly.
Yeah, the question is quietly, it's...
Well, yeah, if it's here and you see two people at a table who normally aren't at the table, the speculation starts immediately, and gosh, I'd never mention that on the radio.
Yeah, we can watch who's walking in here this morning and go, I wonder what they're doing together.
Well, it has an entertainment value to it.
It does, and this is not normally considered a gossip place, but in industry intelligence can be gathered simply by parking your posterior in the corner of a dining room, which is my preferred location, and looking.
That's right.
Let me ask a slightly different question that impacts us. And Mr. Woods, you and I have discussed this in some depth on the radio and off the radio.
Yes.
How much of the migration of the senior community, when it actually does occur, is going to impact the implementation of new technologies? Because the institutional knowledge is going to walk.
It's a trade-off. I think in some ways it helps, and in some ways it hurts. It helps in that the new technology that's coming in is coming in with the new people that are likely to be brought in, but they're not going to miss some of the same mistakes we've made in the past, and that's what you lose when your senior people walk out are the things that we've stumbled over before, losing 25 million veteran records, for example. So I think those kinds of impacts are had with the changeover, but we're going to make the changeover, and I do think that the societal things that are happening. I'm in that boomer generation, and they're not retiring. I mean,
they can't right now because their portfolios
with our 101 Ks. But I think you have to realize that prior to our parents' generation, people didn't retire then either.
Right.
So. That's we're actually going back to the original format, which
farmers don't stop,
right? And we stay involved.
So the bottom line is, I think we get new technology introduced to the agency or the end user, but we're going to see some of the old mistakes, program management mistakes, getting made.
I agree. I go back a little bit to your what's going to happen in digging in that base. I think to these days, if you ask me what's the ideal solution you offer me if I'm in an agency, in a program, first of all, I want it to work. I don't want a long transition. I don't want a lot of money spent. I don't want a lot of capital spent. So if I could buy it as a service, that's why these cloud kinds of services are beginning to pop up, because they promise to be cheap, low capital, and quick.
And relatively secure. They promise that.
They promise
relatively.
Yeah, that's the promise.
They promise all four, and we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
I think people will do the clouds for what I call the administrative stuff. Maybe the unclassified emails or some of the overall tracking. But I don't know if we're going to see real classified stuff up in a cloud anytime soon. I just don't see where you can trust that. We were talking about the healthcare front a little while ago. I'm not sure I want, some of those people managing my healthcare record at this point.
You certainly don't want that MRI shipped.
The due date on that, correct me if I'm wrong, is 2011, supposedly.
Yes.
That's the original. And not that government ever pushes back due dates for decades, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because every doctor I've spoken to about it, because a company that I advise actually does the conversion of the records with them for them, none of the doctors want to do it. They don't see any savings. They know how slow the government's going to pay, and it's a matter often to just like your insurance company, if they're going to pay, customer service. We have a new menu. If you want to speak to a representative, dial 666.
Well, and what the doctors are really worried about in that whole thing is ease of use. They really want to practice medicine. They've got so many patients they've got to get through in the course of the day. If they have to spend all their time just inputting data into a record that's not real user-friendly, or two taps on a tablet as opposed to one tap to get that data in there, that's not ease of use and user-friendliness. That's a very hard thing to measure in a new system.
Well, again, it's one of the congressional mandates. It sounds really, really good when you're up there on the Hill talking about
good
it.
Good idea.
None of them have ever been in, except for Bill Frist, none of them have ever been in the trenches trying to pull that data out.
What they do know, which is really driving them behind the scenes, is that somewhere between 30% and 50% of the cost of health care is in administration.
Yes.
And that's that's what has them all spooled up to deal with this thing, and if we drive that out of the expense, we'd have something.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you see not only the the administrative cost in healthcare, but it's also just the identification of an H1N1. Where is it up today? Where is it spreading? If that data that I just diagnose somebody that's got it, and it goes into a paper record, as opposed to CDC can't see that in this locale, this zip code, this is breaking out fast. We need to go treat it.
That's
to get that immediate.
That's what Twitter's for.
As well.
my My guests today are Bob Woods of Topside Consulting. You can find him at topside-consulting.com. And Bob LeClade of Ingram Micro. You can find Mr. LeClade at ingrammicro.com. When we come back, we'll puncture the cloud pursue other 09, 010 items. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM from the atrium at the Tower Club in Vienna, Virginia.
Hello, the Geico Get-Go here, and I've got a little secret to tell you. Come a bit closer to the radio. That's good. You ready for this? Geico was not named after me. Nah, it's true. It all came about over 70 years ago when Geico was known as the Government Employees Insurance Company, or GEICO. So if you're a government employee, you should be feeling pretty special about now. That's right. Geico was named after you. And you know what else? You could be eligible for federal employee discounts on car insurance, on top of Geico's already low rates. Plus, 97% of customers say they're satisfied with Geico's service. Well, with all that, who could name a better company for car insurance? Certainly not me.
Well said, my little green friend. This is Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, this is a great time to find out more about special Geico discounts that may apply to you. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com and see how much you could save.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com explores the hard issues surrounding cloud computing from the government's perspective, sharing with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the Fed Cloud blog on Twitter, sponsored by Intel and Cisco. Two technology companies leading the cloud revolution.
Overwhelmed with credit card debt? President Obama recently signed the stimulus plan to re-energize our troubled economy. But where was the bailout for the general public struggling with credit card debt? Fortunately, if you owe $10,000 or more to credit card companies, there actually is a program that can help. Call Consumer Debt Advocate for a free consultation and assistance. The toll-free number is 1-800-470-0011. If you have debt of $10,000 or more, you may begin calling now. This debt assistance program is available for members of the public in serious need of debt relief. The consultation is free, courtesy of Consumer Debt Advocate. The toll-free number is 1-800-470-0011. This debt relief program has already helped thousands of people just like you save thousands of dollars and get much-needed debt relief. Listeners with debt of $10,000 or more needing credit card relief are urged to call immediately for a free consultation. This is a confidential call. The toll-free number is 1-800-470-0011. Again, 1-800-470-0011.
You know, the federal government's the largest buyer in the world. $450 billion spent every year. But the government procurement process is complex. Federal News Radio 1500 AM can help you from the inside. We talk to chief acquisition officers, program managers, heads of the primes and subs and industry associations, all of whom understand the business of government and give you insight on the latest buying trends and processes to help you with your next bid. Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for Federal News Now.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guests today are Bob LeClade of Ingram Micro and Bob Woods of Topside Consulting, both veterans of the market. Let's pursue the healthcare angle. And, it's all over the news. Something's going to happen. The government's involved in virtually all aspects of it. So who wants to pick up for let's go with Mr. LeClade first here.
Well, I like, Bob, your comment previously. You know, a great idea. The question is what the implementation is. I had one of my consultants tell me the other day, the train has left the station. The trouble is nobody knows where the train is going and what it's going to look like when it gets there. So I think that's kind of what's all
in formulation.
But it's
running on time.
It's on time this week. But I think we're already seeing some overall slippage in it. You know, we're still waiting on what the definitions of things like meaningful use in electronic medical record really means. You know, if I was a doctor, you don't want to put in a new electronic medical record system until you know what meaningful use is. Unless you can demonstrate meaningful use, you can't go collect your $43,000. So you get that hesitation. But, you know, I'm convinced, you know, those standards will come out. There'll be some discussion whether they're right or wrong or some changes on them. But it'll get there eventually. But, you know, I think that's where the slippage comes from. And then I think it becomes the jockeying in the marketplace. You know, we were talking about number of vendors before. Electronic medical records at doctor's offices, our last count was there's like 400 solutions out there for that. You know, there's no industry that has 400 solutions to anything. That's going to, you know, narrow down on, you know, what becomes the emerging standards in those. You know, who are the market leaders that will take that over? You know, just the way that that data, you know, your MRI record gets moved around the country. Right. You know, what that standard is, you know, that coding, what that data field means in one record versus another. We got a lot of that to work out. But you're right, Bob. That's where the cost in healthcare is today that we're trying to wring out of the system. So yeah. I really endorse, you know, what the administration has done maybe 25 years later than we should have done. At least they've got it started, and we've got movement. And I think it's positive movement.
Yeah, this is a case where the medical community, by its very nature, deals in what I call divergent thinking. They like more is better. You know, 1,000 flowers bloom. And they don't do convergent thinking until they have to. That's the nature of our society in the United States. I think we knew about Y2K a couple of years before we got to year 2000. And if somebody could count, I think we probably knew for a couple millennia that that time was going to come. When did we start acting? About 30 months out, we finally got serious. Mm-hmm. And so we don't at the moment have that pressure point, that pressure to converge our thinking, begin to get away from the 400, get down to the ones that work, set some standards, and reward good behavior and punish bad behavior. And that's what it's going to take in order to move it.
Yeah, and one of the things that Mr. LeClaid mentioned in passing there was the actual coding standards. And I flew down to Norfolk last week to speak to the American Marketing Association, and the woman I sat next to on the wonderful Southwest flight, not a commercial, I just love the airline, she was with a professional association of medical coders. That's all these people do is code for doctors these forms so they can get reimbursed. It's not something that is intuitive. And if you miscode on those electronic forms, you know, number one, you're not going to get paid. Number two, you know, you have to, if you're slightly dyslexic or like me, I can spell, but I can't type.
Right.
What do you do?
The number of codes that are out there, as I've gotten, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I'll play one on the radio. You know, you look at the different specialties that are out there, whether you're a general practitioner, an OBGYN, the cardiologist, you know, the brain surgeons. Mm-hmm. Every one of those specialties has a different set of codes they're working on. You know, how you break a leg, what it is. So I even think about how many different codes that are out there for a diagnosis, you know, how many different ways have to go into the system.
And we're generating new ones all the time.
All the time based on what we're seeing.
Right, so. And you know, it's we're a little granular here, but you've got to get granular if these things are going to work. You know, I spoke out at National Cancer Institute in September, which was absolutely wonderful because those people don't get any pats on the back on any regular basis. And they were just talking about, you know, and these were just the communications people, not technical people, all of the stuff that's coming down the pike here, all of this new research, and it's very cool what they do, but it's going to lead to more and more esoteric coding.
Well, and yeah. You're right, the codes change daily based on some new disease we found, some new way of treating cancer or something like that. They've got a new code that has to go into the system across all the medical specialties that are out there. So
even the question of who pays. You know, and that's one of the issues is who pays in this process, and what they do is they find one cool application, but then it doesn't scale. We can send your MRI to Mayo Clinic to have it read, but you know who pays for that infrastructure? What happens to it when it's not being used? Mm-hmm. Is it secure? Did what we sent get there in a safe fashion? So there's a lot to be said with who pushes this.
Right, but this isn't a simple D-base equation. You can't, when a code changes, you can't go select all and boom.
And then you think about an industry that's got, so many lobbying influence groups in this town, whether it's, the pharmaceutical companies, the insurance companies, AMA, you're just like,
oh, the medical people, do they lobby?
They all do, and they've all got a lot of money for it. So a lot of interest in this field.
Well, my barometer on the lobbying is the louder it gets, the less real ideas behind it. So...
true, but it is the world we live in here.
And
the advocacy process crosses with the scientific and with the needs of the patient. The needs of the patient sometimes are pretty low down in that list, and they get lost.
And those needs are going to be radically increasing as us boomers migrate up that medical food chain.
Yeah.
That's a it's kind of a dangerous situation there. Have we beaten healthcare to death?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if we solved it, but we beat it to death.
Well, if we beat it to death, that's one resolution, right? So, attention, Capitol Hill. You do not need to address the healthcare issue. We just beat it to death. Let's migrate on to this little stimulus thing, where apparently only 15% or so of the money's been out the door, and. I'm told that other money's coming real soon.
I think for the IT community, Mark, what's interesting in stimulus is the 09 money that got spent was those shovel-ready projects. It's the silly construction on the beltway stuff that's where that money went. The IT money is in 2010 and 2011. So for our community, in the next 12 to 18 months, that's where, we're going to see stimulus dollars finally hit. In my business, across all public sector, we've seen education get some stimulus dollars. Certainly healthcare is not, that we just talked about. Some of the federal opportunities are just getting posted for stimulus that are going to happen out there. So I think over the next 24 months is where the stimulus dollars really impact or are available, at least, for IT opportunities.
Well, certainly for health IT and broadband build out, those things are going to take time. They are not something you can just start sending guys with hard hats and steel-toe boots, it takes time to plan this.
Right.
And that's why it's
taking. If you look at the grant side, you mentioned broadband, Bob. We've only done one round of broadband grant funding, August, September. There's supposed to be another round in December, January, another round after that. So you watch multiple rounds of this come off, and whether you're tracking it on grants or, what I call appropriated opportunities, those are just starting to hit at this point.
Yep.
So. For our listeners that are kind of looking, do I get into it? Where are the stimulus dollars? There are now programs out there to help them go find it, help capture it. But it's kind of like pizza. You got to get in now because it's not going to be there forever. So
right.
This is the time to jump in.
Recovery.gov can aim you in the general direction, but you really have to ferret down below that and study all the links and follow it to the state, local level, wherever you are, wherever you think you might be able to play.
Yeah.
So. We have to let one of our guests go. Bob Woods, thank you very much for joining us today. Bob LeClaid and I will remain.
Thank you, Mark.
And Bob, thanks for coming in, and we'll see you soon from the atrium at the Tower Club in Vienna, Virginia. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion on stimulus. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Don Bathurst, Chief of Administrative Services, DHS, on the Federal Executive Forum on the Greening of Government, sponsored by HP.
The biggest issue is that, in my vision, is we're going to integrate these kind of practices into our regular day-to-day business. Too much we talk about greening of government, like it's something that we're going to add on. We're going to do what we do, but then we're going to make it green. This has got to be the way that we do business.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Behind the secure credentials of 18 million people and the trusted exchange of information, behind healthcare benefits for millions of patients and the logistics of supplying troops around the world, behind the essential services of our government are the technology services of EDS. EDS helps our government at every level do more with less. Visit EDS.com/success. Behind success, there's EDS, an HP company.
It used to be I thought of clouds as soft and airy. I could fly right through them, man.
But ever since Microsoft has been helping secure data in the clouds...
I can't get in.
It's simple. Cloud computing solutions from Microsoft help protect crucial information from unwanted visitors, helping government IT departments. A malicious hacker? Nope. Hostile nation state? Forget it. Learn more at lockthecloud.com. If it's vital to government, it's mission critical to Microsoft.
We could Google that.
Let's Google it.
Why don't you Google it?
Google. You use it to search the internet for news stories, restaurant reviews, store sales, everything. But did you know Google's innovative search technology can also be a vital tool on the job, giving workers access to all the internal information they need? The Google search appliance is easy to use and delivers fast, relevant results, just like Google. It can also be customized to meet your specific needs and includes the added security organizations demand. To learn more, go to WTOP.com, keyword Google.
The funniest Fed competition is back. This year, 32 federal employees and members of the military will compete for the title of funniest federal employee in Washington. All shows will be held at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. The final round is Friday, October 23rd at 8 p.m. A portion of the proceeds from this year will benefit the Fisher House. For tickets and more information, visit funniestfed.com.
Dives off the inside fake, runs it left, slips a hit at the five with a touchdown for Navy.
Hi, this is Bob Soucy, the voice of Navy football, reminding you to catch all the exciting action this fall on your D.C. home of the Midshipmen, 1500 AM Federal News Radio and 1050 AM Air America. And don't miss out on the Navy football experience at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in beautiful Annapolis. Purchase tickets at NavySports.com. And remember to bring your radio to the game. Navy football, triple your fun.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My remaining guest is Bob LeClade, VP of Business Development and a variety of other things for all public sector for Ingram Micro. You can find him at ingrammicro.com. Our departed guest was Bob Woods of Topside Consulting. You can find him at topside-consulting.com. And Mr. LeClade at ingrammicro.com. Bob, now I can just say Bob and I don't have to say Mr. LeClade. The stimulus funding, how soon will funds occur? Where's the traction and what are the significant programs? Pick any of the above.
Yeah, sure. So a little bit in Q4, Mark. Calendar Q4, first time we're going to see it, a lot next year. The stimulus dollars, at least for the IT piece of it, and the consultants all tell us there's $60 or $80 billion of IT-related stimulus dollars coming down. You know, we're seeing about 60% of those dollars come down, what I call via appropriated budgets, existing contracts, existing vehicles to the street, about 40% coming down via grants process. If you think about end-user segments, kind of from top to bottom, what we see is the larger to smaller opportunities, healthcare number one, education number two, public safety number three, and I tend to put Homeland Security stuff into public safety, infrastructure, energy, and broadband. So kind of those six big categories. And when I'm always talking to my vendors and my solution providers, I think about your end users that fit and fall in one of those six categories. If you've got somebody that plays there, you've got stimulus dollars that are going to show up on your doorstep. So at that point, you want to kind of figure out, who's going to write the POs for that? Where's that money going to finally hit the street where, you know, the industry can kind of go pick things up? So we spent a lot of time kind of doing the follow the money trail. Is kind of follow that down to who can get the stimulus dollars, where are they eligible for. From a solution provider or vendor side, how do you engage in that? How do you, get the end user to recognize a solution you have that solves one of their problems and then help them carve that solution, which is going to get funded by stimulus dollars.
Okay. Now, for the smaller firms out there, everywhere you go in government, there's always the lip service on, oh, yeah, we'll make the opportunities for small business. They're trying, but it's harder and harder. Realistically, how are the small firms going to play in? If it's by partnering, where do you suggest they start?
Yeah, in the federal side, with a federal end user, I think it is partnering. No one is going to write a new contractual vehicle to go spend stimulus dollars. They're going to use their existing vehicles to spend the money. Anyway, well, you're right. There was lip service given to small business as this thing was kind of crafting. There's nothing in there that directs business, direct stimulus dollars to small business per se. So I think federal space, it's by partnering, into one of those agencies that's doing things. You're going to help redesign a website, help track The accountability of stimulus dollars. But you get outside the federal space into the SLED space, I think there's a lot of opportunities for small business. I mean, it's just because there's so many more end users. So if you're working a state agency, a school district, a fire department, police department, small business can get in, you know, work with a solution with the end user, help them get stimulus dollars over a grant process or something like that, and that then becomes, you know, money in the pocket of the small business. So
money in the pocket and traction in the B2G side of the business world.
Exactly.
Which remains the most stable part of business anywhere.
Right. And I think for the small businesses, and you know, it can be, you can have a debate on what small business really means here, but to me it's a solution provider that's kind of in that, you know, $5 to $50 million range in total revenue. It's working with, you know, the first responders or school district is where they can get traction. You don't have the huge federal bureaucracy you have to survive. Mm. And that's where those end users are looking for ideas. They're looking for ideas on you know, a new emergency alert system that helps, you know, help a school district prevent a Columbine or Virginia Tech type incident. And then you can also say, you know, there is stimulus dollars out there to help you go fund that. If a small business can come in and say, not only, you know, I know you've got a problem, let me help you solve it. You know, if you don't have money for it, let me help you go find a grant or write a grant to go get that. And by the way, while you're doing that, I'll help you craft what that solution is. That's kind of the magic that I think where small business has a huge impact and can go pick up stimulus dollars.
Okay, let me ask a slightly different question, because experientially you have much more bandwidth here than most. What's the likelihood that small local governments really want to do business with local companies? Is it actually appreciably higher?
It's about 100%, actually. I mean, you know, there's a political pressure to keep dollars in your jurisdiction. You know, I think not only do you want to have the throat to choke that's down the street, but, you know, politically you'd like to see those tax dollars get spent, you know, in my county so we keep
in
jobs
your county,
and things
in your
like that.
You know, what are we talking, 35,000 townships and municipalities,
some number like that,
3,000 counties in the country, and you know, on top of that, 16,000 school districts.
Yeah,
you're
roughly on the right number. So it's a big opportunity. So
yeah.
you're right. The CIO that runs a school district, he'd rather have somebody down the street that's local he's talking to, that he sees at the country club, or
he may have come from another state, but he better keep the money at home.
Right. That's what the politicians want. So you know, I think for small business to go in and tell that school district, you know, I can help you solve some problem. I can help you find money, stimulus dollars or grant dollars, which are two of the same things, to help you go, you know, do this new project. Huge, huge opportunities for small business on that side of the stimulus dollars.
Right, and most municipalities and counties have small business development centers, which can at least, you know, help you with the mechanics of doing business with the government.
Right.
It's not an intuitive process.
Right. The other thing, so, you know, a small business that has some capability of doing, you know, state and local education business, you know, we've actually encouraged them to go in and talk to those CIOs about what is it you don't have funding for. And then the program we've actually built at Ingram, something called IM Grants, helps them go in and say, okay, here's something you don't have a solution for. Let me help you find money with that, with grant money, which is where the stimulus dollars are coming to the street. So it's been a really good program for, you know, helping those end users find that. Most end users absolutely don't know the grants process, don't know how the money comes down. They know two or three grants they work with out of 16 or 17,000 grant types that are out there. So we've been working on kind of, you know, making that marriage work.
That is a wonderful program. Say the name of it again, please.
It's IM Grants, Ingram Micro Grants.
Is there
part of our stimulus program.
Okay. Is there part of the website they can find that on?
IMGrants.com, which is the website that's out there. It's a you sign up for the program, so it's a membership program. But at that point,
that's okay.
You know, we link, you know, your end user that with the solution provider with the grant types that are available for whatever solution they're working with to go find out there.
That's pretty cool.
So that's where the stimulus dollars are sitting, and, you know, they're sitting out there to be claimed.
Right. So, and for the state and local governments that may be listening, you know, it ain't coming to you in a bucket or a wheelbarrow. You've got to justify the allotment.
You have to go ask for the grants. You've got to write that up. And so that's kind of what the program does. It kind of helps, though, that end user with the solution provider say, where can we go find money for this opportunity, this new solution we want to go build?
Very cool. Bob, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. Any final thoughts?
No, I think you know, it's a good time to be in public sector. My counterparts that, you know, run retail and SMB and some of the commercial sides, I mean, they're all seeing down year-over-year numbers. You know, right now, flat or up a few percent, which is where the public sector space is. That's the new black. So I think we're all pretty happy to be in the public sector space right now.
Cool. Appreciate you coming by. You've been listening to AM Tower Off Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests have been Bob Woods, who is not with us right now. Bob's at Topside Consulting. You can find him at topside-consulting.com. And Bob LeClade of Ingram Micro, ingrammicro.com, and imgrants.com. We've recorded today from the atrium at the Tower Club in Vienna, Virginia. This is not my day job. If you're one of the few who wish to excel in our market and you're looking for the best sources of ongoing education in the government market in B2G, join governmentmarketmaster.com. One of my next webinars, I'm going to con Bob LeClade into talking about the stimulus flow down. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Is your computer running slowly? Does it take more than 3 seconds for your email to load? Are you getting pop-ups? How about spam? Well, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, your computer and your privacy are at risk. Because these are the telltale signs of a virus. It'll only get worse until you act. Get a free diagnosis at mycleanpc.com and optimize your PC.
I got the free diagnosis, and now my computer is lightning fast.
My computer never crashes anymore.
Talk about optimization. My computer isn't even this fast at work.
MyCleanPC.com will remove spyware, viruses, and virus-infected emails, all while optimizing your PC performance. It's all-in-one protection, and it's been raved about by USA Today and Computer World. The diagnosis is free. Just log on to MyCleanPC.com. Even if you have antivirus software, your computer could still be infected. Find out instantly with a free comprehensive diagnosis at MyCleanPC.com. If your computer is running slowly or you're still getting pop-ups, you need to get your free diagnosis from MyCleanPC.com. That's MyCleanPC.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The UN has set up an international inquiry into a bloody crackdown on protesters in Guinea last month. Gunmen used live rounds against anti-government protesters on September 28th in a stadium in Guinea's capital, Conakry. The violence killed 157 people, and more than 1,000 people were wounded, according to local rights groups. Because of the tension there, the U.S. has withdrawn all of its diplomats and their families. I'm J.J. Green.
Most people can relate to the frustration of losing cell phone coverage while on an important call. But can you imagine a pilot losing coverage with the ground crew while in the air and traveling over water? With 75% of the world being covered by water, this scenario is more possible than you might think. Airink understands this better than anyone. Airink has a legacy of solving aviation-related challenges and implementing solutions to ensure that constant communications are available and reliable for every flight, regardless of the location or circumstance. Log on to ARANC.com to learn more.
Our memory is a store of precious moments, moments of pleasure and of sorrow, thrilling moments of success and moments of peace and beauty. That's what life is all about. But for people with epilepsy, precious moments can disappear without a trace. Seizures mean moments lost, never to be regained. And for many, seizures can mean the loss of independence and opportunities that everyone should have a chance to enjoy. Millions of Americans, including thousands of federal workers and their families, live with seizures. And this year alone, another 200,000 people in the U.S. will be diagnosed with this medical condition. The Epilepsy Foundation provides help and hope through research and family services. Please designate CFC 10568, the Epilepsy Foundation, 10568.
WFED Washington, WWFD.